So I'm going to read some more biography. But I also have a copy of a blueprint, or whatever, of the next ISKCON Forum newsletter, which is written and edited by Paramananda. That's so close. And there's a very nice, lengthy interview with Srila Hari Kesh Maharaj, and plus other articles, and it's very inspiring about the this particular project, Gita Nagari. And through this newsletter, Paramananda is preaching about the farm projects. As you know, Paramananda is very much a preacher of this form of spreading Krishna consciousness. And in this interview, Srila Hari Kesh Maharaj very much agrees and is also in this preaching spirit. I just want to read a few of the parts. A lot of it has to do with Paramananda's advocating the oxen, which is, and Srila Hari Kesh Maharaj has not started it yet, but he's very much sold on the idea of how this will be revolutionary, very exemplary now, and in the future, how important it will be. I'll just jump in and read it for a few minutes. Someone asks Hari Kesh, is that where you are going? Is that why you're going to use oxen? Hari Kesh Swami, oxen must be there. Even if you had fuel stored up to run your tractor, how are you going to make a spark plug? There is no home technology for making spark plugs. And if you use tractors, you compact the ground and ruin the ground. And it is so noisy. One thing tractors are good for is removal of snow and digging holes. But Paramananda, he tells him how good the oxen are at that. And Paramananda says, the thing about the tractors, they don't produce any waste. Hari Kesh Swami, yeah, tractors? Yeah, you can't plant it again. Exhaust. You can't put exhaust fumes into the ground. All it does is ruin the air. The ozone layers are destroyed. Krishna's Varna Ashram. Krishna has made everything perfect, and as soon as you get out of it, you destroy the world. Paramananda, well, there is a lot to be done to disseminate this knowledge within our society, what to speak of outside. I'm just trying to figure how to go about it. Well, this is one way, this newsletter. What I do now is work at Gita Nagari and try to travel to a few of the farms. Hari Kesh Swami, if you make a good example, that speaks for more than anything. So, as important as it is to travel and broadcast what you've done, you have to do something first and continue to do something. So, in this way, by staying here and developing all these things that are being glorified, the intensive farming, the cow protection, the oxen working, the community life, that is the best way to preach it. If you make a good example, that speaks for itself. Paramananda, we want to double it every year. Picking up the BBT, Sankirtan language. 12 teams of oxen next year. That is our goal at Gita Nagari. Double the acreage we farm with oxen every year. Hari Kesh Swami, Gita Nagari is definitely a special place. Actually, Prabhupada said he wanted to go there to start Varnashram. He said that, you know. I will go to Gitanagari, sit there, and start Varnashram. Prabhupada said that just before he passed away. He said, if I live, I want to come there. Definitely you've got Prabhupada's mercy there. You've got Prabhupada's Shakti. Prabhupada is there, but not physically. Ramananda, he saw it was productive when he was there. He liked that, to see something productive. Hari K. Swami, he wanted to see you grow your own food. And they're going on. Rakesh Maharaj is quite into the farming. They can exchange about sugar and different things. Then Hare Keshwami, the people out there, they're thinking about it. They're thinking, I am not going to join the Hare Krishnas and chant and dance in the streets in the city. I want to get out in the country. I want to save myself. You are missing half of America. I think personally that minimum half of America is into getting out of the cities and getting into the country and living. Pramananda, the whole reason we distribute books is to make devotees, right? So if we can do it in another way, it's not detracting. It doesn't have to be seen that way. Hare Keshwami, it is complementary. Everything is complementary. I personally tell people that Prabhupada wanted me to print as many books and as possible in as many languages possible, sell these books, make devotees in the Varnashram. He wanted Varnashram especially, he wanted these farm projects. He wanted farm projects. He wanted Varnashram established, centered around the farm communities. He wanted our books printed and distributed, and everything else would come. All the people would come, all the opulences would come. Like you told me that time, you just depend on the cow and the bull and everything will come. I always tell them like that. It's a fact. Because of, Hari Kesh Maharaj is saying, because of so many years of unbridled opulences and sense gratification with this thinking that we have it all together and we are the indefeatables, people lost the understanding of the fact that we are frail human beings and at any moment can lose everything. They become dependent on the highest technological culture, but forget that this technology runs on silicon chips, which you cannot make if you don't have incredible factories. So this is a very nice interview. And then there's a hard-hitting letter that Paramananda writes to one person who is a little doubtful about the expansion of the cows on his farm in Australia. And he's consulted some local karmi expert who has given him the impression that, yes, the cows are going to cause you a lot of trouble because they're going to multiply. So Paramananda goes on to explain how if you only breed the cows that you want for the milk that you need, it's not that every cow has to breed every year, then the herd will grow, but it's not going to be some impossible multiple expansion. And then he tells his plan that better not to count on unlimited pasture ground for the cows, but keep them in a smaller area, and he cites the advantages of that. But aside from that, that knowledge, of course, comes by expert experience. He gives the Krishna conscious understanding that at any rate, even if the cows do increase, which they will, although they won't increase in such a fearful number, but they will increase, but still that's Krishna consciousness. He gives a nice example. So those figures that you gave were if every cow was bred every year, then the increase is astronomical and the number of cows isn't really practical. So we don't have to do that. We can be more practical than that. But even by controlling the number of cows that you breed, there will be a gradual increase in the number of cows that you have as the years go on. This is a natural process, just like in the temple. The number of devotees expands by natural process, like the growth of a family. There are children and offspring and their children. It certainly can't be thought of as something unwanted or unnatural. It is Krishna's arrangement. So as temples expand with the number of devotees, goshalas also expand. It is natural development. To try to figure out a way to stop that natural development is foolish and a waste of time. And he states that the first priority is to protect the cows. Even the goal of self-sufficiency being a secondary thing. Anyway, it's a very nice publication. And it's been laid out here. Dr. Tom, this is nice, this feature with... It's like Harikesh Maharaj and Paramananda are both looking at, through these pictures. And they laid it out very cleverly. That they're talking and looking at the pictures, and you also like looking over their shoulder, looking at all the different pictures. It's nice. ISKCON Farm newsletter. Hari Bol. So, over at the cabin, we read about Prabhupada's visit on this world tour to Los Angeles. How he went around the big warehouse and saw everything. And then we started reading about Miami and left in the middle of that. Let's see how many pages we have. I just read that Prabhupada was angry when he saw all the leaves on the ground and had them sweep them up. For breakfast, Srila Prabhupada took the juice of local coconuts, which were golden colored, and he found the juice delicious. He also took his favorite fruit, mango, which grew abundantly there. The class would be in the evening, and so Srila Prabhupada took time in the morning speaking with Abhirama. Want a pen? Abhirama presented an idea he had to form a farm community in Florida. He told Srila Prabhupada about Disney World in Orlando, Florida, where Maya was presented expertly. Srila Prabhupada replied, "We should also have a place like that. It should be called Vaikuntha World." In describing a farm community, Prabhupada said it should be according to Varnashram, and everyone should be engaged according to his propensity and occupation. The evening class was a treat. It was cool, about 70 degrees compared to the oppressive heat of the day. The setting was dramatic. Spotlights shone on Srila Prabhupada as he sat on a vyasasan under the banyan tree while guests and disciples sat around his feet. Prabhupada chose to speak on the first verse of the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Although he was regularly lecturing on Bhagavad Gita as he traveled, he did not use consecutive verses from city to city. In each city, he opened the book to a different place and began from there. Prabhupada said, "The basis of Bhagavad Gita and all spiritual life is to hear submissively from the spiritual master." Our Krishna consciousness movement, he said, is teaching people how to become submissive to the authority. Again, he recalled the psychiatrist who visited him in Caracas. The man's arrogant unsubmissiveness had made an impression on Prabhupada, how so-called educated men were too proud to submit themselves to absolute authority. This psychiatrist's question was, Prabhupada said to his audience in Miami, "The problems of the world are increasing, so what is your prescription to solve these problems?" "So the problem is very easy to be solved. I gave the example that the body is here, and there is something which is moving the body, living force. So that living force is the driver of the body, and the body is also described in Bhagavad Gita as a machine." Prabhupada explained that the Bhagavad Gita verse and commented that this was real knowledge, to know the difference between the self and the body. To manufacture a nice car or machine was not education. In India, Prabhupada said, "He who knows how to join wires and bring current like an electrician is called a mystery." Mystery means worker. But that does not mean he is educated. Education is a different thing. But at the present moment, there is the technical knowledge. Formerly, this technical education was entrusted to the demons.
Formerly, they also manufactured big, big airplanes, but that was being done by the demons, not by the great saintly persons or sages, no. That is being done by the demons. The yogis could also produce wonderful things by their yogic mystic power. That was another thing. But generally, where there was a question of manufacturing, that was being done by the demons. Education, however, means brahmavidya, to understand what is the living force within the body. What is his constitutional position? How is it working? Where it has come? On the second night, Prabhupada lectured again. Each talk was lengthy and he answered all questions. As the last question on the last evening in Miami, one of the devotees asked, Srila Prabhupada, if someone takes prasadam even once, is it true that they are guaranteed at least a human body in their next life? Yes, Prabhupada replied. You go on simply eating, that's all. And all of my devotees, they have come to me simply by eating prasad. As he said this, Prabhupada was beaming, smiling, and looking all around. When his glance fell on Abhiram, the temple president who was at his side, Prabhupada said, you too, Abhiram? Abhiram looked sheepishly and said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada made other devotees admit their attraction for Krishna prasadam. You also? He asked one after another. You also? Everyone admitted, until the audience was thrown into jolly laughter and appreciation of prasadam. Yes, Prabhupada continued in good humor. So we give all facilities. If you cannot do anything, please come and eat with us. Then that's the end of Miami. The next visit was Atlanta, and this is a big one. The deities of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu in Atlanta are blank feet, tall and effulgent. Their firm lotus feet are usually fully visible, transcendentally poised atop the whorls of lotus flowers. Their arms are upraised above their heads, and they urge everyone to dance and taste the nectar of the holy names of Krishna. Their faces show mild, compassionate smiles, and the mode of worship of God which they are delivering, as described by Srila Prabhupada, is very, very lenient and easy to perform for the unfortunate people of the present age. On his arrival within the Atlanta temple, Srila Prabhupada was very moved to see Gaur Nithai. Now in three consecutive stops he had entered one of his ISKCON temples for the first time and taken the darshan of Gaur Nithai. This time, as in Caracas, it overwhelmed him. There were about 300 super enthusiastic devotees gathered to meet him. Aside from the residential devotees of the Atlanta temple, there were some 40 brahmacharis from Tamal Krishna Goswami's Radha Damodar bus parties, about a dozen brahmacharis from Sasrup Maharaja's traveling library party, about a dozen men from Tripurari's airport book distribution party, the devotee scientists of Swarup Damodar's Bhaktivedanta Institute group, and other visitors. They had greeted Prabhupada outside the building, and he pulled up, in a black Lincoln. And now they followed him, making uproarious kirtan into the temple room within the large house that served as the Atlanta temple. Srila Prabhupada stood before the deities and observed that the ceilings and walls of the deity room were made of mirrors. It produced an unusual doubling effect, where several Gaur Nithais seemed to appear. But Prabhupada approved it. He then walked from the front altar to his Vyasasan, glancing upon the devotees as they parted their tight ranks and allowed him to pass. He climbed upon the Vyasasan and sat facing the devotees, who quickly hushed themselves into an anticipatory silence. So I am very glad to see you, Srila Prabhupada began. I am coming, first of all, Mexico City, then Caracas, then Miami. I see your temple is the best. At this, the assembled devotees, especially the Atlantans, burst into loud, unrestrained cheers and cries, Jai, Hari Bol. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very kind, Srila Prabhupada continued. Paramakaruna Pahu Dvijana, two lords, Nitai Gorchandra, Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are very kind, you see. They have appeared just to reclaim the fallen souls of this age. So they are more kind than Krishna. Krishna, he is also very kind. He comes to deliver, but Krishna demands, first of all, you surrender. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not demand. At this point, Srila Prabhupada became overwhelmed with transcendental emotion. He wanted to speak more words, but it became very difficult. He uttered, "He is so kind," but then his voice broke and he began to shed tears. He spoke on, but his voice became very high as he was gripped by an ecstasy that made him helpless and inconceivably humble. "So take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu," he cried out, "and be happy. Thank you very much." And then he stopped, unable to say more. The devotees felt themselves carried away and cried out, "Hari Bol," in loud unison. Then, as if commanded, they all bowed down and uttered obeisances. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale. Srila Prabhupada's arrival address was thus completed in 2 minutes, and he motioned to his servant that he wanted to go. The devotees were stunned at the brief, powerful entry of Srila Prabhupada. That same evening, Srila Prabhupada came down again from his room, ready to give more. He sat down and said he would teach a song, Parama Karuna. He started chanting slowly with his kartels, and the devotees tried following, although few knew the song. Parama Karuna Pahu Dvijana Nitai Gora Chandra Saba Abhatar Sarasuramani Kevala Ananda Kanda. After a few minutes, he asked devotees to play along with him on Madranga. A few tried, but no one seemed to be able to find the right beat. Srila Prabhupada then stopped them and said he would show the right drum pattern. He had a devotee rewind the tape recorder that had just recorded Prabhupada playing kartels and chanting so that he could accompany himself. The devotees were especially surprised since no one could remember exactly how long it had been since Srila Prabhupada had played the madranga. The devotees produced one old madranga, but it sounded dead. A second drum was passed forward, but it was also dead. Then a boy offered his personal drum, a madranga covered with a bright red and gold cover. Srila Prabhupada placed it on his lap, tested it, and found it acceptable. He then began to play while devotees taped a complete recording of Prabhupada playing kartels, madranga, and singing. In another unusual touch, Srila Prabhupada had put on his glasses, adding an air of studious concentration to his playing and singing. Baja baja bhai chaitanya nitai sudridra bishvasha kori vishaya chariya sairase majiya mukhe bolo hari hari. When the singing was complete, Prabhupada began to give an explanation. Pahu means Prabhu, he said. A shortcut of Prabhu is Pahu. Prabhu means Lord or Master. So these two Prabhus are Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is addressed as Mahaprabhu, and others are addressed as Prabhu. These two Prabhus, Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, are very merciful. It was as if Srila Prabhupada was giving a purport to the uncontrollable ecstasy that overcame him earlier when he was not able to speak. Now he was expressing the essence of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in chosen words. Parama Karuna means extremely merciful, Prabhupada explained. Extremely merciful because Krishna is also merciful, since he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his original feature. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also Krishna, but he is acting as devotee. He is not acting as Krishna. Srila Prabhupada then quoted the verse by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, where the mercy of Lord Chaitanya is further discussed. I'll skip a little of this. This is a little concentrated presentation of philosophy. We have a little limited time. He concluded that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come here in Atlanta. So you worship this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Paramakarana Pahudvijana. They are very, very merciful. A little service will enhance your devotional service to a larger scale. The next morning, devotees rushed to accompany Srila Prabhupada on a walk in the park. Book distributors from Tripurari's party, as well as the library party man, were allowed to go along and ask Srila Prabhupada questions. The weather was unusually cold. Balavanta, the temple president, warmed up the car 10 minutes in advance so that Prabhupada would not be cold. "This cold is not bad," Prabhupada remarked. "Actually, it is pleasant." Nevertheless, Srila Prabhupada wore his full-length pink coat with hood and lining. He left his head uncovered, and his forehead bore fresh white tilak marks. Several fresh garlands were draped around his neck. He walked with his usual brisk stride while devotees ran alongside, covering their heads with chatters and rubbing their hands together in the invigorating chilly air. Tripurari. Srila Prabhupada, sometimes when we give someone a book, he says, "I would never read it." Prabhupada chuckled and replied, "You ask him, so you want to remain mudha? Tripurari." We say, "No, take it home and someday you'll read it." But they think they can find out on their own. Prabhupada, that is foolishness. They cannot. As they walked, Prabhupada noticed a big sign by the lake marked, "No swimming." Oh, Prabhupada remarked, "Who is going to swim now?" The devotees laughed, a comic relief to their shivering in the cold. Tripurari. Once Balavanta was very sick when he was dealing with the politicians, and I heard that you said that it was because by touching them and associating with them, he accepted some of their sinful reactions. Prabhupada chuckled again and replied, "I did not say, but it may be." Tripurari. "So I was wondering, sometimes our men on Sankirtan, they're shaking hands. Prabhupada, if you are on Sankirtan, you cannot be infected. If somebody is infected, then preaching will stop. If a doctor is infected, then treatment will stop. But the doctor is never infected. They have good precautions. Similarly, when you are engaged in Sankirtan, Maya cannot touch. Maya metam tirantite." One of the devotees from the library party spoke up and told some of their experience in dealing with professors. Devotee. "When we take your books out in the library party to the professors, they say that they're very surprised that one person has written so many books." "So I am also surprised," Prabhupada said. "How I have written so many, what to speak of them? It is all Krishna's mercy." Devotee. "One professor the other day was saying, just like a devotee, that you were coming in disciplic succession and were authorized to translate all these books." "Yes, that is right," Prabhupada agreed. "In fact, that authority I have got. I was explaining last evening, don't speculate. That is the qualification. All others are simply speculating." For most of the devotees on the walk that morning, it was the first time they had ever been able to approach Srila Prabhupada in person. They were dedicatedly serving him day and night for years, and this was the chance of a lifetime. In some cases, the questions they asked were calculated to wash away all their doubts and would be the basis of their entire devotional strength in the future. In this mood, one of the library party distributors, Mahabodhi, moved in close beside Prabhupada and spoke up. "Srila Prabhupada," Mahabodhi asked, "in my service, I have to always meet many educated people, much more educated than I am. So we are trying to present the philosophy, but I'm not so inclined to study all your books. I'm just not scholarly inclined." Prabhupada laughed and replied, "Just pray to Krishna then. Tesham satada yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. Pray like this to Krishna every day. My dear Krishna, please give me the intelligence so that I may be able to become empowered." On the second day of Prabhupada's jam-packed, eventful stay in Atlanta, the devotee scientists went to see him. Srila Prabhupada had already given his PhD disciple, Swarup Damodar, many instructions in how to defeat the atheistic theories of the scientists, and Swarup Damodar had written a small book, Scientific Basis of Krishna Consciousness, which pleased Srila Prabhupada very much. Now, Swarup Damodar, Sotapud, and other PhD scientists who had become Srila Prabhupada's initiated disciples gathered in Atlanta to get his darshan and further advice. They were also hopeful of hearing Srila Prabhupada talk with some guests from the scientific world, some guests whom they had invited. Then I have a little bit of Prabhupada preaching the philosophy to these devotee scientists. Prabhupada commented that the creation is already created, and so the scientists should get no credit in their latest attempts to imitate the creation by, quote, test tube babies, unquote. "We have got the test tube," Srila Prabhupada said. "Bhagavad Gita. As soon as you see a man who has not surrendered to Krishna, all right, then he is a mudha, that's all." Like the book distributors, Swarup Damodar and his scientist godbrothers asked Prabhupada questions to their heart's content, and he took part with great enthusiasm, urging them to answer as he was doing, and expose the rascals. On the same day, in the presence of his scientist disciples, Srila Prabhupada met with an Indian scientist who was a specialist in nutrition. The man explained that his work was helpful to mankind in finding out the cause of protein deficiencies and how to make up for them. Srila Prabhupada replied, "Suppose the birds and beasts have no research institute, yet there is sufficient protein supplied by nature. An elephant has got a big body and so much strength, but they have not found that by your scientific research. The nature is supplying. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. It is being done. Why are you wasting your time in this way? You study what is Prakriti and what is behind Prakriti. That is real study. The protein supply is already being done. Just like a cow is eating grass and she is supplying milk full of protein. So do you think that the protein is coming from the grass? Can you eat grass? Scientist. Something must be Prabhupada. That is something. That is not perfect knowledge. Everyone knows the cow does not take any protein food. He takes on the grass. Takes only the grass. Scientist. Grass is quite rich in protein. Prabhupada. Then you take. Why are you searching after protein? Scientist. Because we cannot digest the grass because of the fiber in it. Prabhupada. Then it is not suitable for you. Therefore, nature's arrangement is that protein can be produced through the body of the cow. Scientist. I think, Swamiji, nature's arrangement was not made for that many human beings as we have now on the earth. Prabhupada. Nature was defective, you mean to say? Scientist. No, sir. Prabhupada. Then? Scientist. I mean, nature's way is designed at the ecological balance of the... And so it went. When the Indian scientist said that the flesh of the cow was valuable for its protein, Prabhupada became disgusted. But however protein you may accumulate, Prabhupada challenged, can you stop your death? After talking some 40 minutes in mostly debate with the scientist, the devotees abruptly brought into the room a professor of religion from Emory University. It was simply one meeting after another for Srila Prabhupada. The devotees were perhaps not completely mindful of the fact that they were, in effect, asking Srila Prabhupada to talk non-stop all day, but he did not complain. He immediately asked the professor to define religion, and then he launched into a definitive discussion of God consciousness according to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Along with the professor, and Srila Prabhupada could understand the hearts of the assembled devotees. Maybe I should perform the arati, he said to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. I should do it. All the devotees think so, Srila Prabhupada. They'll be very happy if you did. Yes, I will do it. So Srila Prabhupada performed another rarely seen activity in Atlanta as he offered each article, the ghee wick flame, the water and the conch shell, and so on, before the picture of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Srila Prabhupada also demonstrated Vaishnava etiquette by sitting side by side in the same temple room on his Vyasasan, beside a Vyasasan and picture of his own spiritual master. And he also demonstrated etiquette by his performing worship to his spiritual master before Srila Prabhupada's own disciples. That morning, Srila Prabhupada spoke about serving the spiritual master in separation. You should always pray, Prabhupada said, that only by the grace of the spiritual master we achieve the grace or mercy of Krishna. This is the meaning of Vyas Pooj. As far as possible, we have tried to give you instruction, books, but remain always faithful to the spiritual master and try to understand Krishna. Any other so-called understanding is simply a waste of time. Then there's a rather concentrated section of Prabhupada speaking at length about techniques of book distribution. And then I'll read a little memoir by Tamal Krishna Maharaj. At that time, I took the liberty to introduce many devotees from our Radha Damodar party to Srila Prabhupada. Because I had an intimate relationship with Prabhupada in India, that carried over also in America, and I felt that he would personally want to meet all the devotees on our party. So one by one, everyone was introduced to Prabhupada. This person is a mechanic, I would say, and this person is a cook, or this person is serving the deities, sewing for the deities. In this way, Prabhupada met each devotee, and at the end he said, Krishna has sent you every type of assistant in order to make this program a great success. Then Prabhupada proceeded to give a very powerful lecture about remaining brahmachari, telling the men, why bother to get married? When you get married, your wife will immediately say, where is the house? Where are the children? Where is the clothing? Where is the food? In this way, there'll be so many problems. He said it was better to stay simple and remain brahmachari and preach Lord Chaitanya's mission. Srila Prabhupada continued all day, sharing himself with the hundreds of devotees and guests who gathered for the Sunday feast. He gave a long lecture, and then for 1.5 hours, he answered questions and answers. When a devotee asked, how can we please you the most? Srila Prabhupada replied, by loving Krishna. Afterwards, the devotees performed a play depicting Lord Chaitanya's civil disobedience movement. In the drama, one of the smarta Brahmins was complaining to the Muslim Qazi about the public chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra by Lord Chaitanya and his followers. The Brahmin said that the potency of the mantra would be lost by the public chanting of Hare Krishna. Here, Srila Prabhupada interrupted the play and spoke out, but it has already increased. When Prabhupada said that, hundreds of joyous devotees began crying out, Hari Bol Jai, as a testimony to Srila Prabhupada's words. By the grace of Srila Prabhupada, the potency of Hare Krishna was expanding more and more. Before departing Atlanta, Prabhupada had a few words with the temple president, Balavanta, concerning political preaching. Prabhupada had been very attracted previously when Balavanta had run for the mayor of Atlanta. Subsequently, Balavanta and others formed a political party in God We Trust. Prabhupada had also approved of that until the devotees showed signs of diverting funds and energy from the mainstream activities of ISKCON. Therefore, for the time being, Balavanta had stopped political preaching. Neither did Balavanta bring it up to Prabhupada in this visit, but Prabhupada himself brought up the subject. So you want to take election again? Prabhupada asked, and he chuckled. No, if you don't want me to, Prabhupada, Balavanta replied submissively. I just take it as an opportunity to preach if you want it. But if you're not very enthusiastic about it, I don't want to do it. No, I'm enthusiastic, Prabhupada said, provided you don't want money. I think we can get our own, Balavanta said. I can get the money. It doesn't have to cost very much. The whole thing we would need is maybe two men to help. That's only for 2 or 3 months of the year. Then you can do it, Prabhupada concluded, if it makes you well known in the city and you get the opportunity of criticizing the demons. And then I have a memoir in Prabhupada's Atlanta by Balavanta. When Prabhupada was leaving at the airport, I was determined to stay with him until the last moment. On the way down the hall, he had given me a rose. I followed him all the way on the plane. I was thinking, I am going to stand here in my post in front of Prabhupada's seat and guard against any demons that disturb Prabhupada. I was looking at the karmis as insignificant and compared to him. I was thinking that I will not let them interfere with my service of standing in front of Prabhupada. So I was blocking the aisle, and people were having to squeeze to get around. Prabhupada sort of chastised me lightly with his eyes that I should be courteous to people and mindful, not impolite and disturbing. And I had noticed that that was the way he was. Although when he walked through the airport, he dominated the people's consciousness. He was not trying to do that. That happened automatically. When he was on the plane, he was very nicely sitting in his seat in a gentlemanly way without creating a big disturbance. From his behavior, I gathered how the devotees should go through this material world, not trying to cause a big disturbance, not being neglectful of others' position, but respectful to others, not causing anyone any mental anxiety, living peacefully, but taking every opportunity to preach Krishna consciousness in a very appropriate way. I could see that here was a representative of God. We have never seen a representative of God before, so immediately it was very important for us to see how he behaved. It was important for everyone to see. But at the same time, Prabhupada was very careful to represent Krishna in an appropriate way, because those who don't recognize him as a representative of God cannot be forced to. And then I've written a conclusion to this volume. So, I've written a conclusion. Yeah, that's be the end of the tour. It describes how he went to other places, but I don't describe them. The whole thing is over 70 pages, so it'll be a nice volume. You mean when it's all, putting them all together? Yeah, I'd like to do that. We were talking yesterday how it's a complementary book to the Prabhupada Lilamrita. So, any questions? Yes, Vajra.
It seems like a little bit of the difference that I know between the Prabhupada Lamrita and the Prabhupada Lila. That the Prabhupada Lila seems to be directed more towards devotees. So you have a lot of important philosophical points that the Prabhupada is making.
Yeah.
More in the Prabhupada Lila, more direct instructions for the devotees.
Yeah, that this whole section I didn't read today about book distribution techniques and what can be done and what can't be done is of that nature, real insider, but very valuable. They both have their appeal.
So what, I was wondering what type of deities were they, the Bodhi deities, were they brass or metal?
In Atlanta?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're brass. They seem to be as big as Radha Damodara. They're very big. And their feet are very merciful, very punch present. Big, big brass. And they had the same in Miami. You had a question?
These books that are glorifying Srila Prabhupada's pastimes will help Srila Prabhupada's disciples to appreciate them.
I should hope so, unless they're dead stones. Unless I failed to present his mercy accurately. Just like the Chaitanya Charitamrita makes us aware and appreciative of Lord Chaitanya. So we cannot become then Lord Chaitanya's immediate disciple. But if we take a spiritual master in disciplic succession, then we become a follower of Lord Chaitanya. So we become the follower of Srila Prabhupada through our spiritual master. And not only that, but as Burijan was saying, there are so many instructions. And Prabhupada's instructions were not just to his disciples, just as his books weren't only for his disciples. But he said they were to set the basis of Krishna consciousness for thousands of years. So to be able to read these instructions in the context of the biography works, that's for my disciples also. No, I don't think that these are just some idle reading matter, but it's very crucial to remind people that Prabhupada is an overwhelmingly dominant figure in this all-important Krishna consciousness movement, and we have to follow his way. So that means you have to learn his way. Whoever learns his way in general and in detail, he's equipped to take part in this movement to help people. It can't be gathered just by reading the Shastra only. All right then, so we can take prasadam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.